विश्वमध्ये स्थितो गुरुः गुरुर्विश्वन्नचन्योऽस्ति तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। On 15th and 16th, day before yesterday and yesterday, we noted how real religious life or spiritual life begins with only coming into contact with a Sadguru. All our Veda, Puranas and Upanishad have all enjoying the same principle. That for real spiritual life, contact with the Sadguru is a must. Because the Sadguru is one who has a direct experience of the reality that is preached by the Vedas, Upanishads and the Purana. Having had direct experience of it, he alone would be capable of putting the cross to us and helping us to understand it, suiting his teaching to the individual capabilities of each and every one of us. We may have any number of religious scriptures, but the text and the teaching will be the same for all of us. Let us say, we take a Bhagavad Gita or an Upanishad. Hundreds and thousands of people take a religious scripture like the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or the Quran, the Vedas or the Upanishad. The text will be the same, but the people who read it, the lakhs and thousands of people, their spiritual status and understanding will be entirely different. Therefore, that is a teaching which cannot be suited to our level of understanding. That is why, when we turn to those books, we don't get a complete or correct idea of the spiritual truth. We get it as per our own understanding, according to our capacities of understanding. It is exactly like this. We go to a movie, and suppose we go with our family. There are people of above 60, then there are their sons, and then their young kids, grandsons are also there. The way the three generations of people look at the picture, understand it and appreciate it will be entirely different. The small kid of 5 or 6 doesn't understand anything about the story, anything about the jewel, the love and other things. He only sees beautiful palaces, beautiful roads, cars going, beautiful scenery, sea and anything fighting. He will all see only those parts that are interesting to him, which his mind can understand and derive entertainment from. Whereas a youth looking at the same picture will pay less attention to everything else other than what would appeal to an adolescent mind. All other things become less important for him. Whereas the mature man will not pay attention to the first two, but will try to understand their principles of life which that picture is trying to portray. Their levels of understanding are entirely different. Exactly in the same way, all of us are having varied levels of understanding. Each one has his own samskara. And the most peculiar part of it is the same man will have different samskaras playing upon his mind at different times of the day, different times of his life. Suppose we go on listening to an exposition of Bhagavad Gita for 40 days at a stretch. The way we listen to it on a particular day will be exceptionally good, whereas on a certain other day, however much we might try to listen to that, our mind will be preoccupied with some other thought, going tangentially away from what the preacher is trying to tell us. Therefore, from day to day, from hour to hour, our understanding changes. But all these changes will be of a certain range, డిపెండింగ్ అపాన్ మై పూర్వజన్మ సంస్కార మా పరిపాక మై మెచ్యూరిటీ ఆఫ్ అవర్ స్పిరిచువల్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్. సో ఇఫ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ ట్రై టు రీడ్ ది సేమ్ స్క్రిప్చర్ వీ అండర్స్టాండ్ ది డిఫరెన్సెస్ అకార్డింగ్ టు అవర్ ఓన్ లెవెల్. టు టేక్ అనదర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఫ్రమ్ అవర్ కామన్ లైఫ్, ఇఫ్ ఎ స్మాల్ చైల్డ్ ఆఫ్ 2 or 3 వర్ టు స్టాండ్ నియర్ దిస్ థింగ్ ఇట్ విల్ కమ్ అప్ టు దిస్ టు హిమ్ అండ్ హీ విల్ సే హౌ హై ఇట్ ఈస్ ఐ కాంట్ క్లైంబ్ అప్ అండ్ వీ స్టాండింగ్ బై సైట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ సో లో ఆఫ్టర్ ఆల్ అండ్ విచ్ ఈస్ ది ట్రూత్. Is the table so low or is the bench so high? If we say it's too low, it is false from the experience of the kid. If we say it is very high, it is false from our experience. Which of the two is true? The fact is neither of them. That it is a bench is the truth. That it is high is the experience of the child. That it is low is the experience of the elderly man. Similarly, you are sitting there and I am sitting here. You say, in front of us is the mic. Whereas I say, in front of me is the mic. And you are opposed facing me and I am facing you. When you want to refer to those people sitting in the back row, you say, people in the back row. And I say, people in the front row. Which of them is right? Neither. We will be able to look at it only from these two angles. To take a more scientific example which would appeal to the younger mind, let us imagine that there is a boat of about 40 feet in length. It's moving from south to north at the rate of 20 feet per second. And in the midst of it, one man is standing. He has two footballs in his hand, each of an identical size. And standing in the center, he rolls the two balls in the two extremes. The man who stands in the middle of the boat would always find, because their balls are the same size, traveling at the same speed, they travel the 20 feet distance in the same time and fall into the sea simultaneously. 100 times he might repeat this experiment, 100 times this is what is proved. Both the balls have traveled equal distance at equal speed for equal length of time and fell in the sea. But the same sight is seen is being witnessed by a man on the shore. According to the man on the shore, the ball which has moved towards the north within the second has not only traveled the 20 feet on the boat plus the 20 feet which the boat has moved within that interval. And the other ball, it hasn't traveled. It has traveled 20 foot on the board minus the 20 feet the boat has moved in the opposite direction. So it has not moved anyway. 100 times the man on the shore might perform the experiment, 100 times he will give the same result. The man on the boat, 100 times he might perform the experiment, he will get the same result. Which of them is right? It is such a problem that a great scientist like Einstein took and he tried to prove the relativity of space and time. He said, space and time and movement are with relation to us. They are not absolute measurements. There is no absolute movement. Now, reading a spiritual scripture is also like this. So, how are we to understand? A realized state will have one experience, and we, without having any experience, will have a different understanding of it. Practically saying, no understanding. When we read a scripture like Bhagavad Gita, what happens is, most of the terms we will come across are terms with which we got familiar. This familiarity creates the misconception that we have understood it. That is why, for hundreds of years, the Bhagavad Gita has been expounded by a large number of scholars, but nobody could find out till another great Mahatma like Lord Krishna, that is Shirdi Sai Baba himself, came out and told us which is the most important in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. He said, Tatvajipranipatena pariprasyena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnana chattudarjanaha. That sloka alone is the heart of Bhagavad Gita. Not ananyasintayam tomam, not paradharman parichitya, none of those things. Why? Even if it tells us Ananya Chinta and Soma, if we go on thinking about God without anything else, he will look after us. Then how to think of him is a problem. Next day we'll go to him. We are trying to think of, but my mind is going away. What am I to do? So it is as good as having not been told. So what has to be done? Even how to think about the Lord all the time will have to be learned from one who has practiced that art, mastered that art. Alphabet we have to learn from somebody. Enumeration and multiplication and mathematical calculations we have to learn from somebody. The normal speech in the mother tongue will have to be learned from somebody. The normal practice of day-to-day life we have to learn from somebody. Swimming we have to learn from somebody. Everything we have to learn. And is it not going to be so with a subtle art like spirituality? So if we simply read a Bhagavad Gita, the commentary and the translation and think that we have understood it, tomorrow our jhana must be of a different quality, which will never be the case. So, Baba wants to point out that you have to go to a realized state. There is no alternative. When you go to a Sadguru, even if you don't have any scriptural knowledge, absolutely not necessary. It doesn't matter. Why? He will give you everything. Did not Lord Krishna teach everything in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? What Arjuna did was, Shishyasteham Sajimam Tvam Prapannam. I am your disciple. I am surrendering myself to you. Come on, guide me, he said. And Parma Yoga he explained, Sankhya Yoga he explained, Bhakti Yoga he explained. Everything that is necessary he went on explaining. Whatever doubt Arjuna got, he went on explaining. So what we can get by reading Bhagavad Gita, we can get better by going to a Sadguru. Because whatever we want, he will try to explain. Provided we want to know. When Sai Baba was there, certain person, a particular man, thought that he is a madman. And all these devotees are only gullible people who are unnecessarily lionizing him and idolizing him. His friends just invited him to come and have a look, have a glance at Baba and just form his own judgment. So the two came here. The moment they entered the masjid, Baba started emptying the pots there and inviting them. So that man, the stranger, thought, here is the madman, I have got him. So if I ask him, he is sure to come out with a meaningless answer and my friend's credibility will be dashed now. So he said, Baba, what are you doing? He said, all the verses are touched to me like this, what can I do for them? If we get thought in the right way, something can be poured. Some wisdom, some enlightenment, some knowledge can be poured into it. But if you get the vessel inverted, what can you pour in it? If you come with the conviction that Baba knows nothing, what can be done? If you at least come with the chance, let me know what Baba is. That's all. You need not come to say that Baba is God. You need not come to say Baba is the Guru. Let us see what he is. That much decency we must have. If we come with the presupposition he knows nothing, it is like coming with a very empty inverted pot. So, if as long as Arjuna thought, he is after all my brother, he is all after all in Adava, so long Lord Krishna did not teach anything. He allowed him to think that he is only a brother-in-law. He allowed him to think that he is only a friend. Go on thinking like that. When the crisis came and when he caught hold of the feet, yes, the path is in the proper position, it is time for us to go. So whoever goes with a receptive heart will get. Provided that is there, even if we don't have any scriptural knowledge, even if we don't have any traditional orthodox way of following religious life, it doesn't matter. These two things are important. Why? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, even buddhi yoga I give. If you go on being devoted to me single-pointedly, I will bless you with even buddhi yoga. Even the enlightenment intellectual that is necessary for understanding, even that will be granted to you. How? We will see now by having a rapid glance of the devotee's experiences through this 6 decades. On the first day we have noted how around the year 1854, Baba appeared as a lad of about 16 or 17 under the name being the outskirts of the village of Shirdi. Afterwards, he shifted over to the masjid people thought he was a Muslim because he started living in a masjid, started blessing people as Allah Malik, Allah Acha Karega and so on. So people thought he was only a Muslim. To teach them that all these labels are absolutely meaningless. Can there be one God for a Muslim and another God for a Hindu? If God is real, can a Muslim have one kind of water and a Hindu have another kind of water to quench his thirst? Flesh and bones and blood, can they be different? Gravitation of the earth, can it be different? Pleasure and pain, can they be different? Life and death, can they be different? So whatever is true, whatever is real, can never be true. The child may say it's a low being, a high being, and we may say it's a low being. That is a thing there can be two things about. Exactly in the same way, Baba wanted to eliminate, remove this kind of narrowness in the outlook of the people, and therefore he called it a Dwaraka Mai. He established the sacred fire in the northeastern corner. And in the southwestern corner, northwestern corner, he himself sat. And he called Dwaraka Mai. In the front yard of the masjid, he planted the tulsi. Now, is he a Hindu or a Muslim? When people went on pouring down, because for some time they thought Baba was might be a simple sadhu, nothing more than that. Baba had one habit. Baba might be a common good sadhu. That's all the obedient people could have of him. But Baba had one habit, and this is the most important part of it. He used to go to the various shops, collect a little oil from each, and then light lamps in the masjid. Keep them lighted all through the night. Why he did it, we will think of it later. After giving him oil for a few days, the village oil vendors thought they were only wasting their oil by giving him every day like this, as most of our young men today also. But you waste so much of oil in lighting the lamp. Instead of that, if you use it for cooking, will not the hunger be able to satisfy for so many people? These are the questions younger generation puts to us. Similarly, they too made their thought. And so they refused to give oil. They said, we don't have any oil to give. Baba was unperturbed. He came back calmly to the masjid. He drew water from the well. And then, in the can in which he used to get the oil, he poured the water, rinsed it and drank it. And then once again filled the can with water. And then poured the water in the various lamps and lighted them. And the lamp went on burning throughout the night. Then the people knew what this fakir is. And in this symbol is the whole teaching and the mission of Baba's manifestation of earth on earth is there. Baba has come to light the lamp of faith in our hearts, to dispel the darkness within us. He has come for that. And we are asked to contribute the oil. In Sanskrit, there is another word for oil, that is samskara. Samskara also means oil. Whatever is oily is samskara. We are asked to give our samskara. And he is going to use it for lighting the lamp, purifying it and consecrating it to God, thereby making it holy and filling all our hearts with light. Why? Our scriptures say, this is the Navatvarapura. The city with 9 gates is this body, with 9 dwaras. So he called this Dwaraka Mai. Baba coming into that made it Dwaraka Mai. You must remember that. Before that, it's a dilapidated mass. After he has come, it becomes Dwarakamayi. Similarly, before we come into contact with a Sadguru, before we develop a faith in a particular Sadguru, till then, this will be a dilapidated mass. Since that day, it will be Dwarakamayi. Why? He knows how to keep the perpetual light of Shraddha there and keep it burning all through. Burning down our sanskaras and transforming it into the one Udi, which is the teaching that all forms are ultimately of that one form. In essence, one. We may throw sun cakes in it, we may throw coconuts in it, we may throw flowers in it, we may throw soil in it, all that will be transformed into only one Udi. And the word Vibhuti itself is what is possessed by the Vibhu. What the Vibhu has is Vibhuti. What the Lord has is Vibhuti. So, Lord, that essence, reality, the Paramatman, of which the whole universe is the manifestation, that is the imperishable form into which everything will get transformed when burnt down its jnana. And that jnana, that fire has to be lighted in us. But the fuel here is not good. If somebody lights today, tomorrow it goes out. So somebody will have to be here to take care of it and keep it burning all through. So the Sadguru will have to come and stay in us. And that is Nishtha. Once we say he is Sadguru, once we say he is all the gods and all the Mahatmas, once we say that all forms in this universe are He, stick to that and stay. Just as a young girl of 15 or 17 will be looking upon everybody else, so and so, X, Y, so and so. Tomorrow we fix up the match and the gas, tomorrow we perform the marriage. Since that day, till the moment that our life leaves our body, the idea that he is the husband will continue. Apart from this, if you look at the flesh and bone, that particular X will be having the same blood and bones and tissues in the body as everybody has. What is it that qualifies him as her husband apart from everybody else? In point of flesh and blood and bone, he is not distinct from any of us. In point of mind and consciousness, he is having the same as what you have. And if that form is her husband, he will have one form today at the age of 22, another form at the age of 40, another form at the age of 60, and he will not cease to be her husband when he gets a different form at party. But the bondage relationship is, he is my husband. He might be has to buy 25, or 50, or 80. So, exactly in the same way, it has to be here. This is the meaning of a joke which Sai Baba plays with a particular lady. One day she comes and goes. She says she is my mother-in-law. This is there in Narasimha Swami's book. One lady comes and goes to Baba, and Baba cracks a joke. She is my mother-in-law, he said. What does he mean? Mother-in-law is one who has given her daughter marriage to somebody. And Atman is the mother, and the mind is the daughter, and she is given away in marriage to Sai Baba. That's a beautiful joke. So, that is the fire which we have to do. And keeping it up is Guru's responsibility. And it will be the Guru's responsibility if he is our Guru in our heart. Only when the bhava that exceeds her husband, that bhava comes in, and she lives according to that, the other one also lives as though she is her wife, his wife, and takes all care of her. So the relationship will have to be from both sides. It can't be one way. So Baba said, Baba's Guru also insisted on the Dakshina of Nishtha and Saburi. Why I am pressing on this point is this. It is generally said, there are two kinds of relationship with either God or Guru. One is the Markada Kishoranyaya and the other is called the Markara Kishoranyaya. That is the relationship, the cat and its young one, and the monkey and its young one. In the case of the monkey, the mother doesn't hold it. The young one will have to hold the mother. The mother will be climbing, jumping up from branch to the top. If the young one commits an error and slips, it falls down. It is its responsibility to sing. In the case of a cat, it's the mother who holds the young one. And the young one is not expected to do anything but just keep quiet. Now, which of the two is Baba? We would like to believe, as it is natural for all human beings, we would like to believe Baba is marketing Saranyaya. We are just his gift, he will hold us and take it. But Baba did not say like that. Remember, he is a guru, that's all. Only in case of God is that acceptable, not in the case of a guru. God is paroksha to us. Only in his case, Madhyaraki Saranyaya can be right. Because he said, if you look to me, I look. Hello, remember, don't go on saying, look at me. If you look at me, I look at you. First condition underline, if you look at me, I look at you. If you give the 2 paisa of Dakshina, Sashta and Saburi to me, I will take you to the end. Right up to the goal. If you don't have Nishtha and Saburi, well, it's poor headache. Why? Why? God, who is Paroksha to us, gives us complete latitude. Take 100 janmas, 1,000,000 janmas. I have you, the karma in my hand to beat you like a bull and drag you onto the right path. Now, what we want is, we don't want to be beaten. Like cattle onto the proper path. And we don't want to take so many janmas. So, we say, let me hold your finger, please take me on. Then he will say, all right, hold. Guru, this is God. Your understanding of Bhakti Yoga. If you still want something more, not something which is necessary to help you to have a right attitude in doing your duty now on the warp wheel, but if you want direct experience of Atman, then go to a Sadguru. This is not the place, this is not the time, and this is not the relationship which I take now. There is a specialist training. Come there, we will give you a training, we will give you a different teaching altogether. This is a common discourse. Everybody can come and listen to it. But if you want intense practice, come for regular bhajan, come for regular aarti. There is a different course altogether. Specialization in one subject. So, that is the pratipatena, he comes. That trust is there. And that's why even the teaching of Bhagavad Gita came only when he said, I am your disciple. I have surrendered myself to you. Guide me. Only then he comes. That is what Baba meant by, if you look to me, I look to you. So, you do the market saranyaya from your side, I will do the madhyaraki saranyaya then. You hold my finger, and then I will hold your hand also. If the child doesn't want to hold your finger, but you want to drag him, he will fall down. But if he is anxious to hold your finger and walk with you, then you can help him by holding his hand also in turn. Good. That is the relationship between the Guru and the Shishya. So, something is expected from our side. And that is Nishtha and Saburi. And by Nishtha we mean having the idea that he is the Sadguru and our Sadguru. And having a complete conception of what a Sadguru is. And all the 60 years experiences of devotees is an explanation of what the word Sadguru means. And that's what we are going to have a look at this in a brief way. When he lighted the lamps in the Mathe, people knew here is a great one and people started talking to Shirdi in large numbers. And this contained people of all sorts. Some of them, tradition bound, hesitant to come to a sadhu like this. A fakir, a Muslim fakir like him, but still, the material problems in their life left them with no other go except to go there. That is Baba's method. Yesterday we touched upon this point, but most of the friends were absent yesterday. I will just touch upon one point. Baba himself said that when he and three of his friends were of attaining perfection, and they discussed among themselves the ways of how to realize this self, everyone came forth with his own idea. Someone said, we have to control our mind, our senses. The second one said, it's not control, but nityanitya vastu viveka. But Baba said, none of these, doing our duty and surrendering heart and soul to the Guru. Not being able to come to one agreement regarding this, everybody wants to follow his own path of sadhana, but they wanted to go into a forest and study. So they entered the forest. Just at the beginning of the forest itself, they met a man, a forest dweller, and he told them, he asked them, why do you go into the forest without anybody to guide you? You are sure to lose the way. Don't waste your energies like that. I have something to eat. I have some water to drink. Take them, rest here. Don't venture into the forest alone. They start, here is a rustic, an energetic, untitled man. What does he know? This fellow seems to know only two things, eating, drinking, and sitting in the shade. What does he know about self-realization? Let us go in search of it, the path and the event. They missed their way. After long, long time, this Baba, by sheer Purajanma Punya, sheer luck, they came to the place where they started. Again the man was there. He said, don't listen to me. In hunger and thirst you wandered and missed your way. By sheer luck you have come. At least now accept the food and drink which I give. Rest here. Then the other people thought, it's an insult for them to accept what they have rejected earlier. So they said, no, we don't want, we're going. Baba, he might be a rustic. He may not have any idea of religion, spirituality, atma, paramatma, nothing. But one thing is great about him. He is not related to us in any way. Why should he be so concerned about our missing our way in the forest? About our hunger and our appetite? But unconditional love, a love which has no basis, if we can't recognize it, there is no philosophy at all. So let me accept. He accepted the food. The moment he took the food and drink, it was not the forest dweller, but it was the Guru standing in front of him. Now Baba has given us a hint to all the people. That is, the real Guru will come in a form in which you don't recognize him. If you have an unwillingness to appear in the form of to approach a fakir, remember he will come only as a fakir. Real teacher will always be like that. Buddha was not accepted by many in his own lifetime. Only towards the end, some people started accepting him. Christ was rejected by the many. Every God-man who came, except people who wanted to be saved from material problems, spiritually, Christ could only find hardly 12 disciples. A Ramakrishna Paramahansa could get only 12 people who stuck to him with all their life. Not more than that. So, mankind has never accepted anybody. They accept everybody who is not genuine. They accepted everybody who is not genuine. The genuine stuff people might hesitate to accept. Why? The first thing he will do is, he will start cleaning our vessel. He will start with the cleaning of the vessel. Because these vessels got filled up with whatever is not right. Our wrong understanding of Bhagavad Gita, our wrong understanding of Upanishad, our wrong understanding of tradition, our wrong idea of a guru, our wrong idea of God, our wrong idea of Maya. Why? All these philosophical teachings will confuse us in our material life and in spiritual life. If we try to sit in meditation and forget the material problems, we will regret. No, no, I am going to the extreme. It's not possible. Spirituality, let us do it after tea, let us be after the world. Tomorrow we say, we are becoming material, we try to come back. If there is a confusion between the material and spiritual aspects of life, it means we have not understood either. If our mind ever gets into the confusion, whether this is right or that is right, whether spirituality is good or materiality is correct, as long as the doubt exists, it means we have not understood either. Material life is the field in which if we have to practice spirituality, you have to earn money, you have to work, you have to feed yourself, you have to feed your people. But whether your attitude is right in doing so shows whether we are fit for spirituality or not. Are we trying to do some work which is of use to many and thereby earning our livelihood? The work due to get the livelihood should try to be as useful as possible to the public. Only then we deserve to be fed by the society. And in this society, that problem is at topmost. Because in 90% of the cases, what we do is absolutely useless. By any stretch of imagination, we can't justify it. As long as we don't know what we should do in this situation, we have not understood what spirituality is. I am a teacher myself, a lecturer myself, and I know what I do is absolutely useless to the society. I teach Hamlet, I teach Milton, and nobody listens and nobody wants it. Even if one unwise boy who wants to know it, of what use is it going to be in his profession, in his day-to-day life? Will it improve his character? Will it improve his intelligence? Will it make him a creative in his intelligence and a great scientist or a philosopher? Will it mold his character? In none of the colleges there is character molding. In none of the character is there intelligence, development of intelligence. Nothing. He will memorize a few essays, write there, and I get money for dishonest work. And the pity is, I am forced to do it. To live, you are asked to do. If I want to teach about Sai Baba, nobody will give me a salary. So what can I do now? I can only do one thing. While teaching some those things, I can let slip certain things which will make them ask me a question and in answering which I can bring them to this topic. And if people insist that I am not expected to do those things in the class, even then once again, another problem comes in. I will make a boy ask me, put a few questions by let slip a few statements. Then I will say, this is a classroom. I am not expected to talk here. If you are interested, meet me out. So whatever sin I commit by earning money here by useless way, I try to redeem it by trying to do something useful outside. This is what he mean by sattvic good. Let us remember this. This is what we mean by sattvic good. In the Bhagavad Gita, the sattva-guna, rajo-guna and tapas-guna are given. And the food which is conducive to and which is liked by the man of sattva-guna, rajo-guna and tamo-guna is given. And people think that by eating that kind of food, people get sattva. If that is true, let us look at people statistically. People will be taking sattvic food, but they won't be treating their sons and sons-in-law alike. People won't treat daughters and daughters-in-law alike. Sisters-in-law alike. Leave alone eating all creatures as God. Let us look upon this example. So where is sattva-guna? How many people are there who go on trying to meditate all the time simply because they have taken sattva-guna? They will be taking sattvic food and at the same time will be bothered extremely much about the material welfare and other things. All kinds of narrow sectarian feelings, religious feelings and harsh prejudices, all these things exist. And where is sattva-guna? Sattva is the capacity to see oneness underlying all. That is sattva. Seeing the many things, if I can intuit the oneness of all, I am nearing sattva. Whereas they are moving farther and farther from sattva. Hinduism and Islam. In Hinduism, Shaivism and Vaishnavism. Dvaita, Advaita. Vishishta Advaita. In this subject. And then Gotra. My town and your town. My province and your province, my language, your language, the hell with it, is all tamo guna and rajo guna, let him not talk about God. What has sattvic food done? Sattvic food starts with taking care that we justify our living by doing something useful to the society. If society is so degenerate that it cannot get useful work done by us, we have to invent ways of doing useful work and trying to justify whatever evil that we have committed by the nama earning. Till then, our food will not purify our mind, and this is what Baba has demonstrated by his own way of living. Baba has completed his sadhana. People were willing to give him bhiksha at 5 houses, and he did not do anything, he can sit. Still, why did he level the plot of ground outside Shirdi? Why did he bring flowers and then plant them there? Why did he carry the water and water the garden? Why should he do it? If he wants the plot to be clear, the dakshinas which he got would have got done that work much more easier by employing poor people. No. He is, therefore he will have to do. Afterwards, when people started understanding what Baba is, before people understood it, this is what he was doing. When people knew that he is a Mahatma and started Shraddha, then he stopped this kind of work. He can't turn another. Going to the Lindi, sitting in Nandadeep, sprinkling water in the 4 directions and inviting all the spiritual forces to concentrate there and work for the welfare of humanity. Of what need is it for him? He is everywhere. Why should he walk that side and then sprinkle water? Why should he go on with his hands like this in all the directions? He has to inviting. What was he doing there? He is getting food from 5 houses. He is getting, his physical body is getting shelter under a tree or under the mast which belongs to the village. So the place will have to be, the debt will have to be clear. How can the debt be clear? Suppose we fell in a tank of water and we are sinking, about to die. Somebody suddenly comes with a helping hand and takes it out. How are you going to give it? By shaking his hand? How can you repay his debt? Alright, the only help that he did was to hold my hand. I will repay it by holding his hand against his hand again, is it? There is only one way of repaying him. If ever he is in difficulty, till he overcomes the difficulty, we will have to share his suffering and maintain him, that's all. It may take 50 years for him to settle down in life. 50 years we will have to bear him. Otherwise, we will not be living also. What he did was giving us a hand and pulling us. And that is equal to a lifelong gratitude for that. And this is what Baba meant when he did that. And when he showed, Vaidya Mami gave him food. He used to wander. Baba used to wander. Sit somewhere in the jungle and never come back. One lady by name Vaidya Mai decided that here is a great Sadguru. I must feed him before I take my food. That is the vow she has taken. She used to put the food in the basket, put it on her head and wander in search of him till she found him out. And she used to serve him food. If he was not aware of the whole thing but was absorbed in meditation, she used to serve it, mix it, put it in his mouth. And she did it only up to 1890 or so. Not afterwards. But till the moment his body left, his spirit left the body, till then he used to remember. We find Bhaija Mami's son, Satya Koti Patil's diary is there. He had a pity for Sai Baba. One day Baba wanted Satya Patil Kodil to go to the weekly market and get some berries. We call Regupaldu in Telugu. Satya Patil got those things. Baba gave those fruits only to Malta Pati and Tatya and said, Tatya said, because you wanted the fruits, I went all the way, searched all the shops and got the best thing. If you give me without eating, I won't take. Baba said, no, you must take it. The tussle went on. Finally, Tatya Pati got so wild, he stopped coming to Masjid altogether for 5 days. Baba is standing at the gate. When Tatyapati was going, come here, Baba used to say. He used to say, I'm going. And finally, Pandit came from the other, Dada Kelkar came. Dada Kelkar came to the house of Tatyapati Kotil and said, Baba is shedding tears. Baba is not eating food. You are Bhaija Mami's son. Therefore, Baba can't eat without feeding you. You fellow, you have to come to the masjid and he brought me. And only then Baba started taking food. Why? She had fast before eating. So Baba will see to it that she is fed first, and when she is no more, he is fed first. How long? And if a Sadguru like him has to observe that law, how about us? That's why, yesterday I was referring to, we need to study the lives of great Mahatmas of various religions. One day a Muslim fakir was sitting and praying. A dirty dog came and attached itself to him and lay down there. For a Muslim, a pig and a dog are the worst of all creatures. They have to be kept at a distance. The dog's flesh and a pig's flesh are prohibited for him. Both. So somebody sitting outside by his side suddenly said, but fellow, such an impure creature, dog has come and is fed against you, you are praying. Come on, get up. Perform the wazoo again. Wash your hands and feet. Then the fakir said, I can drive that dog away. I can even wash off the dirt which has stuck to me on account of it. But there is a dog inside. What is the dog? Why is a dog and pig called impure by them? Because it goes and eats filth. All dirty things they eat. Therefore they are the worst of all creatures. But he says there is a dog in me. And it goes on eating all kinds of filth. How can I drive it? As long as a dog is within me, what is the point in my driving away the dog outside and thinking that I am clean? Ever since I started with sadhana 55 years ago, I have been trying to drive away the dog outside, but it doesn't go. So I am busy driving it. After driving it off and perform inner vazu or dry cleaning, then I will drive it and clean. And the other man did not know what to do. These things will have to be read. Only then we will understand certain things in Baba. Otherwise, we have no comprehension at all. So, that is sattvika food. If we take care that for all the food that we take, the security that the society gives us, for all these things, we should be able to discharge some duty which is useful to the society, whether it likes or not. You have to make it appealing to them and do it. There are no two alternatives. If your child is not going to take the medicine, you are going to put it in sugar and charge to push it down its throat. Do it. Can't we spare 1 or 2 rupees per month? Can't we get a little candy and borugulu puffed rice? Can't we get that? Tempt children that we will feed them with that and narrate a few stories of Baba to them and make them do bhajan? Can't we do that much? In our leisure, once 3 hours we may reserve for our movie, 2.5 hours more for our TV, all right, many more hours for our chit-chatting and all kinds of nonsensical talk, at least 1 hour for a Sadguru. If we can't do anything else which is useful to the society, this is what Baba meant, and that's why when a devotee like Dr. Maharaj came to him, he said, resign your post of a police constable. How am I to live? Do kirtan. Baba, I will feed you. And he started doing kirtan. And he wondered how he is going to meet his family. Suddenly a friend came, offered him a plot of ground just for a nominal rate, and it was a fertile piece of land that used to maintain him, and he was able to do all things. Vrutti Mutti Pradantam. He is Vrutti Mukti Pradanta. He gives Vrutti, no doubt about it. And he is also give Mukti. He wanted to give both, and he, Dasana Maharaj wanted to lose both. As Baba asked him to resign, he wanted to give both. Why did he encourage Kirtan?
the only useful thing that anybody can do.
There is nothing in the whole educational setup in the country which will humanize and spiritualize life. Nobody is teaching. So do it. That is what he meant. And that is what we have got to do in our own humble way in the house. If we have any regard for spirituality, if we have any regard for our tradition, which is Svadhyaya Pravachinetana Pramaditavyam. In the matters of Svadhyaya and in Pravachana, never neglect. In the Veda it is said, Svadhyaya Pravachinetana Pramaditavyam. Svadhyaya is reading something and learning. If generally people understand it at a very superficial level, thinking that reading the Veda, repeating it every day is Svadhyaya. But great interpreters like Sayana, those rishis said, it is not made mere recitation of Veda, trying to understand its spiritual content and meaning also. It's clearly said. So we have to know what it means. We have to know what we do here. Suppose we read Mantra Pushpa, we should know why we are doing it. We should know why we are throwing the yellow rice on him. When we are turning the lamp round, we should know why we are doing it. Otherwise, is he running scarce of any lamp? Or does this light in any way enlighten our mind? Lighting a lamp itself is a beautiful symbol. Why? The temple is there and this is the temple. Inside the temple is the deity. And inside it is dark. Why? All our light is turned outside. Our hearing is working outside. Our eyes are functioning externally. Our tongue and touch and everything. Our mind is turned outside. Therefore it is darkness. Suppose there are movable lights here. Attached to window pane. And suppose if you lower the window panes, the lights are outside and everywhere it is illuminated and there is no light. All of us are having a buffet outside and so no light is necessary here, we have lowered them so that all lights are outside. Later, it started raining and all of us wanted to finish and run inside. Then we lit them, all the lights will be inside, no lights are necessary inside. Similarly, when the senses are functioning externally, there is dark. If all the senses are introverted, there will be lamp inside and darkness outside. We are asked to light the light inside. This is what Baba meant by asking, by lighting those lamps inside the masjid. When darkness is outside, Yanisha Sarvabhutanam is the meaning. Whatever is night for other things, for the great sadhaka, that is day. Whatever is sleep for all other creatures, he is wakeful. Whatever the things to which other people are wakeful, to that he is asleep. We are awake to the world, asleep to the Atma. He is awake to the Atma, he is asleep to the world. So, at least we try to be awake to your Atma once at the time of doing Aarti. That is what we mean by doing Aarti. This is the mandir. The trust, faith and the devotion and the buddhi and the Atma here is the God. We have to introvert our senses and keep the inner prajna awake by which we discern spirit in us. That is keeping a plan. That's why in our tongue, I think the parallel expression must be there in Tamil also. Kanishan Deepavana Bhakandaya Devarayanlon. There is a mandir. At least you see that a lamp is lighting. If you can't do anything else, at least see that every day a lamp is lighting. Why such an importance given to the lamp? See? Light at least the lamp. The meaning. So, that is what he was showing. And we have got to do that. And how to have that trust? The people with the material worries used to come to him because they had no alternative, but they came with a hesitation. And Baba appeared in the form in which people have got to hesitate because real teaching is always like that. Whatever looks simple, whatever looks easy, whatever remains easily acceptable to us is always unpleasant, good, not good. What is pleasant is not generally good. what is good is not generally pleasant in our life. That is a law. That is a law. We don't want to part with our teeth. Dana is essential. It's very tough to follow morality. Karma is essential. It's very difficult to control the senses and meditate. Jhana is a must. So, our nature, whatever is, that's why he comes in such a form. And people used to come to him. Some people worshipping Rama, some people worshipping Pandri Vishalanga, and so on. And the greatness with him was, when a devotee of Rama came to him, he used to appear as Rama. There was a man who was a devotee of Rama, and who never wanted to go to any other god or any other Mahatma. Never to a Muslim. One of his friends was a Sai devotee. He was coming to Sai Baba, but knowing his friend's sincerity in religious matters, he wanted his friend to have a darshan. But this man was not willing. Somehow he persuaded him to go there. The moment they entered the masjid, devotee of Rama saw Rama himself in Sai Baba's position. He fell at his feet with tears of joy. The moment he raised his head, Baba said, "Where is Rama? If you can see him, he is everywhere. If you can't see him, he is not here also or in it with you." Thereby indicating to him, "I know you are a devotee of Rama, but I also know that you don't know that Rama is the all-pervading spirit. You have not understood what real Rama is. Sometimes we will be eating peanuts. When we have to wait for the bus in the long queue, to pass the time, we take the peanut. We are taking it. About 5 or 6 are left in our hands, and the bus has come and we have to jump into the crowd and hold it, so we increase the speed at which we eat. And suddenly it happens, we throw the nuts outside and the chop them. Exactly the same thing happens here. So, for a devotee of Rama, it is Rama. For a devotee of Pandari Vithal, he appeared as Vithal. For a devotee of Dattatreya, he used to appear as Dattatreya. For a devotee of Maruti, he used to appear as Maruti. Why? Once again, there is a commentary on a verse in Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, people who are victims of Rajoguna, they wrongly imagine that one God is different from the another, and all of them are ultimately different from the one spirit. Shiva is different. Muruga is different. Vigneshwara is different. While doing namaskar to Shiva, should we not do to Vigneshwara first? Isn't that the first of the God? If we try to do to Vigneshwara, not Shiva the father of Vigneshwara? And is not Muruga the elder brother of Vigneshwara? So, we do namaskar to none. When we turn to this man, we are scared of the other one. When we turn to that man, we are scared of this God. And we never do any love to anybody or any namaskar to anybody. The point is, one God is mocking at us. Laughing at us. You fellow, you turn this side. By the time I come there and receive your pranams, in your heart you have turned this side. By the time I come here, you taunt me like this? You tease me like this? That is what Baba wanted to cure us of. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita, only owing to ignorance, only owing to ajnana, people find multiplicity where there is only one. God, Atman, Brahman is one. Reality is one. But people think they are different gods. And all the different gods are entirely different from the Parabrahman. So for this desire, this one. For this desire, this one. Like that a million gods will be there. And they think that all of them are entirely different. Bhagavad Gita clearly says, even if their sadhana is going to be 10% pakka, they will only go to that loka, and after the tapasya is over, they will come back to this place. You will not gain eternity. I go on praying to Vishnu, and he goes on praying to Shiva, he goes on praying to Ganapati. And however devoted we might be, what will happen is, we go to the loka, Parokya, and when the tapas, Shine Marche Punya Lokam Visanti. As soon as the intensity of the sadhana is over, the key is wound up, unwounded, then we come back here and be born here. We don't get the eternal state. To get the eternal state, you have to realize the eternal and the one here. If you want that, you have to go
to that which is one and not that which appears as many. It is to teach this that a guru has is necessary. Krishna, the Jagadguru, has taught it. And five Sadguru is teaching us. And every Sadguru has taught the same thing. And at least, after coming to a Sadguru, this conclusion should no longer exist. If we are in doubt to whom we have to do pranam, forget all about them and do it to one Sadguru you have done to all. If there are a million leaves on a tree, we are not going to water each leaf. If there are a million leaves on a tree, we are not going to water each and every leaf. If we pour it at the root, all of them get it. Do it to one Sadguru, who is one or God, do it. Be away from confusion. If we can't overcome our attachment to all the deities, turn towards one Sadguru and say, you are Vigneshwara, you are Shiva, you are Vishnu, do. Finish. Both the desires are satisfied. If there is anything wrong in what I do, you be answerable to that, you excuse me and tolerate me. Go on saying the same thing. And that, to put an end to this confusion, to take us to the Sattvika Jnana, not the Rajasika Bhakti. Rajasika Bhakti is that which thinks these gods are many. And which thinks, which goes on debating whether Shiva is great or Vishnu is great. Whether Shiva is great or Vishnu is great, he who debates will be believed. And they will be joking. Shiva and Vishnu will be joking. See what kind of fellow this is. I am yourself and you are I. But this fellow goes on debating. What does he know? So, that's why Baba has given the demonstration as a commentary on in this verse of Bhagavad Gita. Then, a number of people who went to several other gurus, some of them to Hindu, some of them to Muslim fakir, they also were asked directed to go to this Sai Baba. Tajuddin Baba used to tell everybody coming from Nagpur, go and see Sai Baba there. There were two fakirs by name Bhakti and Shamsuddin Mia in Aurangabad. Whoever was coming from Aurangabad, they used to direct their devotees to go to Sai Baba, Sai Fakir there. So, when Akalkot Maharaj used to send his devotees to Shirdi, saying, my farm is there, go. Whoever came, the one great thing is, Baba used to appear like one's own guru. And tell the disciple what the guru himself had told him directly, saying, I have told you like this. Thereby, once again, another kind of question which a man like me would get if he were to be in Hyderabad, in Madras. Luckily, I am in a village like Vidyanagar where there is only one thing. This is Sai Baba's mandir, no doubt. But if I were to be here, as soon as I get down in Mylapore, should I go to Kapaleswara temple? Should I go to Ramakrishna Mission? Should I go to Sai Baba? Alright, to satisfy all of them, let me go to all. But where to begin? Where to begin? If I were to come to Sai Baba's Mandir or Ramakrishna Mission, does it mean that Kapaleswara is inferior to Sadguru? Or if I go to Ramakrishna Mission, does it mean that Sai Baba is inferior? I can't go to with three bodies to three places. What am I to do? And Baba wanted to answer. There is one supreme universal guru. He appears in so many forms here. Wherever you go, remember it is I. Go. If you want to go to Ramakrishna, first go there. This day, one of our brothers who is here, he was telling me. He worshipped, let me not point out who it was, it is a secret between that soul and God. But here is a friend. He used to go to Ramakrishna Mission and Ramakrishna appeared to him in a dream and told him a particular principle. Do like this. He used to worship Amma also. And Amma also gave him darshan of her father and herself. Shankaracharyaji also gave him darshan. And Sai Baba, Sai Baba appeared once in his dream. There was a long queue. And the queue doesn't get exhausted. He was waiting and waiting. Finally he thought, let me go. And he came near Baba. I wanted to come to you. Why are you in a hurry? So Baba says, I am not in a hurry. Go. If you want there, you first go there. You first go to Gopalakrishna temple. You first go to Ramakrishna mission. At the end, come to me. Then I will tell you, why fellow do namaskar here? You have already done me there. Why come here to me? I have already appeared to you in a dream as an ambar. What does it matter? This happened in the case of Sai Baba. If a devotee vowed to Dattatreya an amount of money and he forgot to fulfill the vow, as soon as he came to Shirdi, Baba said, give me the money. And when somebody else offered, he rejected. And the devotee Chama wanted to know why he accepted, demanded money from one and rejected from the other. Then he said, this was a vow to Dattatreya and he forgot to give it, so I have taken it. He has not vowed, I have not. He vowed to Dattatreya and it is he the priest. So, do pranam to anybody you like, any god. Do pranam to any guru you like. But I have already received it even before you know. So, no confusion with regard to guru. No confusion with regard to God. All gurus, but the greatest part is this. One great unique point about it is, to my knowledge in known history, there is hardly any guru who gave the experience at such a large scale to each and every one. A devout Muslim coming from a Muslim guru was given the same. And a Hindu, coming from another Sadguru of the Hindu tradition, he gave the same experience. So almost everybody here was given similar experiences. And there is hardly any Sadpurusha in known history who could do this all the time to all the people. And so, all gurus are, there is only one guru in all the forms. That one guru who could be in all forms is he. Then, various, when devotees came to him, he used to demonstrate to them that he is in all forms, in the forms of all creatures. A devotee, a lady, was serving food to her family at Shirdi. And a hungry dog came and moaned, and she threw a roti. It eagerly ate it and ran away. And when she came to the masjid, Baba said, you gave me food when I was very hungry, I am fully satisfied by it. Remember that I am in the form of all creatures. Feed the hungry, whatever that creature be. Don't say, my shastra forbids me from allowing a cat to eat it or a dog to eat it. Because Nana Sahib Chandorkar had such ideas. Of all the devotees, Nana Sahib Chandorkar had such doubt. His parents used to follow the tradition. He used to follow the tradition. He was feeding a guest before taking food. Because Narayana is Atithi. But sometimes he never got it. So he asked the Baba, our Shastra say, feed an Atithi every day. Because the form of Atithi is God. But I don't get Atithis on second days. What am I to do? Baba said, you don't know what it is. You have not rightly understood. An Atithi does not mean a human being only, and that a Brahmin only, but any hungry creature which comes at that time is an Atithi. You feed it, you get it. But the merit of feeding lots of people. And then, if we turn back our Shastras, dust them and find the Shastras clearly mentioned. Never try to know the caste, the moral background, the parentage of anybody who comes as Atithi to your house. It is clearly written in the Shastra. When somebody comes right in lunch time, don't try to find out whether he is of your caste or another caste, whether he is morally good or not. Feed, look upon him as Narayana. It is given in the Shastra. And it doesn't occur to our mind that even to look up our Shastras and check up whether our ideas are right or wrong till Baba comes and corrects it. So, Baba was in all forms. I am not multiplying the instances because it is already late. And lastly, Baba showed that he is everywhere and all the time he knew what was happening. Every moment what was happening everywhere, you know. And he used to go on talking about it. Whatever he said was later corroborated by people coming from elsewhere and they knew that such a thing has happened elsewhere. One day he stopped going for bhiksha and he was in a very sad mood lying down in the dust in the Pranjyadri Masjid. And people ask me, why haven't you gone for Bhiksha? Baba said, my brother Gajan Maharaj has left us today. There was another great Sadguru by name Gajan Maharaj in another distant place called Shegaon, and on that day, at that particular time, he took Mahasamadhi. And Baba knew it here. One day he said, Nana Sahib is about to die, will I let him die? People noticed the time and later they came to know, just at the time Nana Sahib Chandrakar was traveling in a tanga along with a friend, the axle broke and they fell. Just when they were about to fall down, he thought of Baba for a second. And that was the time here. Baba said, Nana is about to die, will I let him die? So he knew everything that was happening everywhere. And finally, Baba could will anything to happen. A Muslim fakir came. He wanted about 4,000 rupees in order to renovate an old mosque. He thought Sai Baba is also a Muslim and people are giving him plenty of money and we can as well get it and renovate it. And he came and asked. Baba said that masjid will not accept money from anybody. She herself will provide the funds. How? Go and dig under the imba 3 feet. And he will get all the money. He went and dug up there and he got all the money necessary to renovate the masjid and nothing more, nothing less. Sitting in city, how did Baba know that 3 feet below is the treasure there and that it is exactly enough amount for that? Another Muslim fakir came, he said, I urgently want 700 rupees. He went on weeping and weeping. Sai Baba called a devotee and said, give him 700 rupees. If I remember well, it is Jog. He said, give him 700 rupees. Jog said, I won't take it my own hands. It will be a kind of pranabandha between us. I will give it to you. You do whatever you like. And so he gave it to Baba. Baba is a fakir, not expected to get involved in giving and taking. Not expected to do it. So Baba called two young fellows and said, hand over this money to that fakir. They are very peculiar fellows. They gave him only 500 rupees and put 200 rupees in their own pocket. That man counted and was weeping. I got only 500 rupees. Baba did not take these people to task. Did not change them. He did not tell them to give him. He just kept quiet. He wept and finally thought, this fellow won't give. Let us be satisfied with this and let's go. And he went, he left surely and he was walking. By the time he came to this village called Neemgam, a tanga came in front of him and a Parsi gentleman who was a tahsildar got down from it and he came and asked the fakir, are you hungry? Yes, he said. Then he gave him food and then he gave him 200 rupees and said, are you satisfied? He got the 700 he wanted. He said, all right. And then the tahsildar came to Sindhi and explained to the other devotee that on his way, Sai Baba appeared in his dream, told him to stop at Kopagam for the night and come by only a tanga morning, that as the tanga touches Neemgam, at a particular spot, a fakir will be coming of this particular appearance, that the fakir will be hungry, that he will be in need of 200 rupees, and he is asked to give. So, he stopped there, he saw the fakir was hungry, gave him food, and then 200 rupees.